Shalom and Calvary greetings to you, my brothers and sisters. I bring greetings to you from Lusaka, Zambia. This is Brother Andrew Piri. And well, it falls my lot to share something from the Word of God. And I want us to do a little reflection from the book of Psalms, chapter 1. I will read from verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So I would like to call this thought the planting of the Lord, or a tree planted by the rivers of water. I was reflecting on the Vietnam War. This is a war which took quite very long, I think for 20 years. It started somewhere in the mid-1950s, somewhere in 1955, and ended sometime in 1975. And this was a conflict between North Vietnam and South Vietnam. And although it was these two nations fighting in name, but it was really what you can call a proxy war, because North Vietnam was being supported by the Soviet Union and China, the forces of communism. And South Vietnam was being supported by the USA. It was a long-winded war, and the USA had a lot of difficulties. And eventually, you know what happened. Like many have said, the communists had an upper hand, we would say the war went in their favor. Now, sometime in 1971, two congressmen from America, when they started, trying to analyze the situation on what was going on, there was a very shocking discovery, because they discovered that 15% of American soldiers were heroin addicts. You know, they were so addicted to this heroin. And numbers were much higher, you know, when you look at the reports. Those were times during President Nixon, you know. And the president of the U.S. was compelled to form, you know, some sort of what you can call a task force to try to see how this situation could be corrected. Because when you have soldiers on the battlefield and they are somehow disturbed, or their attention has gone to this harmful substance which impairs the way, you know, their mental system needs to function, that becomes a problem. The addiction becomes a problem. And so a study is now being carried out. And here is something you need to know. When someone is addicted, in those times when you are addicted with heroin, the prevailing view was the damage is permanent. It's irreversible. There's nothing we can do about it once that stuff gets into you. That was the prevailing view. However, what happened is when a number of these soldiers returned back to the US, you know, they kept tracking them, you know, to gather information. And let me read this portion about what was reviewed. This was done by Lee Robbins. He was a researcher. And Robbins reviewed that addictions could spontaneously dissolve if there was a radical change in the environment. Now, they came to this conclusion because of the results of the observations. When these soldiers came back to their homeland, quite a good number of them, their addiction stopped. They no longer found themselves in this self-destructive habit. And so these psychologists, these researchers, they came to a conclusion, and by doing other research works, that when environment changes and there are no longer those cues which attract you, which cause you to indulge in certain things, when those things become absent, away from your sight, a certain addiction begins to lose its strength or grip over a person. And indeed, they tried to make more observations, and it was discovered to be true. And at this point, I want us to know that that's a biblical principle. It is something we can see in God's word. And what is that thing? The thing is, an environment has a very big impact on how you do things. Yeah. And, you know, when you read Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, it talks about a blessed man. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, let us ask ourselves this question. What is making this tree to bring forth much fruit in his season? What makes the leaf not to wither? What is it? Is it because of some special ability in the context of what we are reading? Well, it should be very easy to see that this tree is able to do these things because it is a tree planted by the rivers of water. It is about the environment where it is. It's about the situation where it has found itself. And so, an environment has a direct impact on what a tree can do. It goes without saying that no matter how capable a tree could be, if there's a wrong environment and atmosphere around it, it may not bring forth the full potential of what it has in it. Likewise, if a tree does not have the ability in itself, or it hasn't got what it takes to produce fruit, you can equally put it in a very good, fertile environment. It may not produce to your expectation. But our concern is the issue we mentioned at first. This tree, according to Proverbs 1, verse 3, it was able to bring forth all these because it was planted by the rivers of water. Now, here is a little interesting thing as I conclude for today's sharing, what I read in a certain book. This book talks about habits. Let me see if I can get it. Now, these are people who have, you know, specialized trying to do research on how do habits form in a person. These researchers, the portion I want to read, they were trying to find out why certain people seems to have great, what can we say, ability in terms of overcoming temptations. They were trying to research on why is it that certain people seem to be more disciplined, and because of their discipline, they seem to achieve more results. Other people, that doesn't seem to work. But later on, as they did the research, they discovered something that actually, when you take this object, you put it, you remove it from this secure environment where it is in, and then you expose it to certain problems, it manifested almost the same weaknesses that the other object had, which was in a wrong environment. Now, let me just read this part. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, I found it. Sorry for taking long. I did not write the page down. Yeah, let me read this. The idea that a little bit of discipline would solve all our problems is deeply embedded in our culture. Recent research, however, shows something different. When scientists analyze people who appear to have tremendous self-control, it turns out those individuals aren't all that different from those who are struggling. Instead, disciplined people, in inverted commas, disciplined people, those people we perceive, they are so disciplined. That is why that brother is so victorious spiritually. That is why that brother is an overcomer. He's very successful in his spiritual life. And we many times tend to think they have a special ability. And sometimes people think, well, that person is gifted. He's so gifted in that. I think God protects him a lot from sin and corruption. But now, this is not a spiritual book I'm reading. This is just researchers. They say, instead, disciplined people are better at structuring their lives in a way that does not require heroic willpower and self-control. In other words, they spend less time in tempting situations. Think about that. That's interesting. That one can seem to achieve greater results simply by where they choose to be, in an environment which is free of distractions. And then when another looks at them, he thinks, well, things are happening because they have great ability. But according to this research, it is simply because their discipline has put them in an environment which is away from things which would easily distract them. And dear friends, I want to conclude today's sharing by saying, God has given us the spirit to live and enable us to overcome. And really, it is his work. It's a work of grace. However, the same scriptures that we read also tells us that it is possible for a person to quench, to suppress the spirit of God in him. And how can that be? That means what the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, do not give up the habit of meeting together. What is that communicating to us? It is communicating to us there is a responsibility you have to be in an environment that will be good for the well-being of your soul. Like this tree, it looks to be an overcomer, to be an accomplisher, but yet it's not really its ability. It's because it's in the right place, in the right environment. When you look at Joseph, when he saw Potiphar's wife trying to advance and do that wicked thing, he didn't sit down and try to start evangelizing her and try to do some explanation. He knew, no. I think I'm in a wrong place. And he ran away from there. Likewise, when you spend time in a right environment, where right seeds are sown in your mind, an environment of the word, of prayer, that certainly will produce a result in you. So just as there are laws of physics, which tells us if a vehicle is moving at 200 kilometers per hour, it will be able to reach such and such a place at this particular time. A spiritual life is also just as predictable because there are also laws which govern our social interactions and our social well-being. I hope and pray that we're going to learn something this week that will be good for our spiritual well-being. The Lord richly bless you. Amen.